It's Sunday morning. Time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host on WGN Radio. Thank you for joining me on this President's Day weekend. I hope you're having a wonderful weekend, Sunday morning, wherever you might be listening. And if you're podcasting as the week goes on, I hope you find this story about retail and sporting industry in America that I'm going to talk about today to be of interest. So recently, the announcement was made that Eddie Bauer, an iconic outdoor brand in America, was shutting down, closing forever. 180 stores are to be closed across the United States and Canada. It got me thinking about the evolution of the outdoor products retail industry and its role in America and where it is today and maybe where it's going to be in the future. So it all started with Orvis, Charles Orvis, 1856 in Manchester, Vermont. It's the oldest mail order retailer in the United States. Today, it's owned by the Perkins family. It was started, Charles Orvis started as a fly fishing store to get high-end, at the time, fly fishing rods, reels, and flies into the hands of customers in New England. And he built it, of course, into this empire, which then, when Lee Perkins acquired it, it took it to another level. And today, Orvis is known for a lot of things, but still known for its fishing, even though that's a small part of its business. So Orvis started it all, 1856. It was followed by the next iconic American brand, Abercrombie & Fitch, started in New York City by David Abercrombie and Ezra Fitch, 1892. And it started as an upscale sporting goods store to buy hunting and fishing equipment for people who were at the higher end of the market. You're going to, as I go through the most iconic names in North American or in American retail history for the outdoors, you're going to see a common thread here. The third one was started in Chicago. Actually, it was started a year before Abercrombie and Fitch, but not as well known. And that was called VL&A, started in 1891 by Von Langerich and by Antoinette. VL&A, as it became known. And it was eventually purchased in 1928 by Abercrombie and Fitch. It had started in Chicago downtown as a high-end hunting, fishing, and outdoor gear show. So in the 1800s, you had three of the formative brands in America that built the outdoor industry. You had Orvis, Abercrombie and Fitch, and VL&A, as it was known. And then at the turn of the century, L.L. Bean was born. And it was born by Leon Bean. And that started, of course, in Freeport, Maine, where it still is today. And that was in 1911. And it was started because of shoes. Leon Bean developed the first hunting boot. Leather on top, rubber on the bottom, with rubber soles. And it became the iconic boot that was worn by people in the outdoors and still is today. But it was the forerunner, and Leon Bean, by developing this boot, revolutionized the outdoor industry with footwear. That brings us to Eddie Bauer, which was the subject that piqued my interest when they announced they were closing. They were founded in 1920 in Seattle by Eddie Bauer. So you have Bauer, founded by Bauer. You have Beam, founded by Beam. You have Orvis, founded by Orvis. You have VL&A, founded by Len Kirk and Anton. So all of them possess the names of their founders. Eddie Bauer started 1920. It started, believe it or not, as a tennis racket and badminton birdie store. But its breakthrough was he invented the goose down parka. And Eddie Bauer became famous throughout the world for making parkas that could withstand extreme Arctic conditions, polar conditions, expeditions, and he became the number one maker of expedition gear in clothing in the world, and it was for the goose down parka. But he also loved to hunt and fish, so he built a store and an empire around hunting and fishing. Every one of these individuals built a store and a business empire around their love of hunting and fishing in the outdoors, and each one of them invented products that launched their business. So Eddie Bauer is no more. What does that tell us about what's happened to retail in America and for the outdoors, hunting and fishing? Well, I'm not quite through with the story yet of it, what I consider to be its evolution. So Eddie Bauer was founded in 1920, and then you had a long run. You had Bauer, Orvis, Bean, Abercrombie and Fitch, and also VL&A, which dominated the market for nearly 60 years. And then along in 1961 came a small company, really small at the time, Cabela's, founded by Dick and Jim Cabela in Sydney, Nebraska. What else do all these companies have in common? They were all, with the exception of Abercrombie and Fitch and VL&A, founded in really small places, Freeport, Maine, Vermont, Sydney, Nebraska. Sydney, Nebraska, of course, is famous for being on I-80. I-80 didn't exist when the Cabela's started. The Cabela's started their store. It was a failure. They were trying to sell fishing flies, and you could buy, I think it was 10 flies for a dollar plus postage, and nothing sold. So Dick Cabela had the idea, forget that. How about offering free flies? You pay for the postage. And he sent out a few flyers offering his flies for free, and you pay for the postage. Well, of course, the postage covered the flies as well, and it took off. Just that simple twist in marketing, if you can believe it, that very simple change. Instead of paying for the flies were free. Cabela's took off, and of course, it's an iconic brand today. It also founded by someone who hunted and fished, which brings us really to the biggest of them all, Bass Pro Shops. 1972, in the back of a liquor store in Springfield, Missouri, Johnny Morris. He founded Bass Pro because of his love of fishing. He had been on the professional bass tour, which was an emerging industry at the time, fishing. He went back to Springfield, Missouri. His family ran a liquor store, a small liquor store. He put some lures in the back of it and began to sell them. And I think you all know the rest is history. Bass Pro today is essentially, well, it's the biggest of them all. And you could say is the really the lone survivor in the context of its original mission. Every single company that has made the America outdoor brand for over 150 years was started by someone who loved to hunt and fish. That's why they started the stores. So that's really the evolution. And what are we learning from it, I guess? The time changes. Bass Pro has gobbled up Cabela's as part of Bass Pro. It bought Max Prairie Wings, which, of course, was founded by Mac McCullen. The McCullens down in Stuttgart, Arkansas, again, another company that was founded by people who hunt and fish. So you had, in that case, it was founded around duck hunting. So you have this consolidation today where really you have Bass Pro Shops, Abercrombie and Fitch. I know the name. I see their brands. Yes, that's true, but it's a clothing store. Abercrombie and Fitch went bankrupt about 40 years ago, and then its brand name was bought out of bankruptcy, and it became a clothing store. It's no longer a hunting and fishing store. Orvis still sells hunting and fishing equipment, but it's mostly a clothing store. VL&A, well, that's been merged, long, long gone. Cabela's sells lots of hunting and fishing equipment, largely a clothing store. Bass Pro sells lots of hunting and fishing and boating equipment, but also a big clothing store. So that is kind of the evolution of hunting and fishing iconic brand names in America. We're losing them, unfortunately, but Johnny Morris is proving that we can go forward. He's proving it, that he's going forward by buying his biggest competitors, Max and Cabela's. We'll see what happens in the next 10 years, but I'm sorry to see Eddie Bauer go. I'm sure many of you listening, as well as myself, can go into your closet and get an Eddie Bauer down parka. That's what started it all. I'll be back in just a moment with more on the great outdoors. Thanks for being with me. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Hope you enjoy that discussion on the kind of the history of some of the most iconic retailers in America. And as I look at that, I also have to mention another name, which was very much tied to the outdoors, and that's Wild Wings, which was founded by my great friend, Bill Webster, who unfortunately has passed on, in 1968. It became the foremost provider of art, sporting art prints in the world. He built it into a substantial business out of Lake City, Minnesota. So as I look at the lineup of the individuals who have made the outdoor industry and what they have in America, I can say I've been honored to own. Obviously, I did not know the Orvises or L.L. Bean. They were founded long before I was around. But I'd be honored to know Lee Perkins, Johnny Morris, the Cabela brothers, and Bill Webster. And all of them had a passion for not only the outdoors, they had a passion for conservation. And so when you shop at Bass Pro, you look at the wall and you look at all the conservation organizations that they support. You looked at what Wild Wings did with Ducks Unlimited. All of these individuals who owned their own companies before they took them public or went out of business gave back to the industry that made their business possible. Johnny Morris, Bill Webster, the Cabela's brothers, Lee Perkins, iconic names in philanthropy when it comes to giving back to what made them possible. And that's one of the things that I think is really unique about the outdoor hunting and fishing industry is how people give back. More money has been spent for the conservation of hunting and fishing in America than you can even begin to imagine. And so many people who built their businesses on it have given back generously, more than generously, to ensure not that their business survived. That was never the motivation for Bill Webster and Johnny Morris, both of whom I've had personal conversations about. It wasn't to give back because they were making money in the industry. It was to give back because they wanted to see the industry, the outdoors, hunting and fishing survive, not only in their lifetimes, but for generations to come. You don't see a lot of that in America today, particularly in the corporate world, which is so focused on profits. But look at Johnny Morris and what he's doing today with his Roundup Fund and his store and the amount of money that he's given back to conservation. He knows that without customers, he doesn't have a store, doesn't have a business, and he's built these mega stores all over America. Actually, Cabela's was the original mega store idea. But what Johnny Morris and the Cabela's understood, and Bill Webster and the Perkins family and others, is that without hunting and fishing, America is a much poorer place. And without great areas of natural resource where we can go hiking and biking and camping, it's not all about hunting and fishing, where we can go hiking and biking and camping, then we're a much poorer country. And they were the leaders in what I call the generosity of the American outdoorsmen and women, which is unrivaled in America. So when you go into a store, when you go into Bass Pro Shops, you go to Cabela's, you're not just shopping, you're actually help furthering an American tradition. And it's sorry to see, as I mentioned, Eddie Bauer go out of business because they were right there at the core. But we do have a few left. A few of the founders, Johnny Morris in particular, are still around, and they do a great job for conservation. And they also obviously provide a lot of products for a lot of us who love to hunt and fish in the outdoors. I'm going to move on quickly on the time I have left to the NRA. You don't hear that name much anymore. The National Rifle Association. What happened? Well, we all know of the scandals that involved Wayne LaPierre, their longtime CEO, and their executive team, and the lawsuits and the ongoing litigation, the NRA has been absolutely eviscerated. And from that has to come a new organization that is responsible to the conservation values and to its membership. And in that mindset, Bill Backenberg is the new chairman of the NRA, and he's written a very interesting one-pager entitled Transforming the NRA Battleship. And the issue is a battleship, and that it's like the Titanic. It's started to sink, and it hasn't righted itself yet. I think it will right itself. But the NRA has gone through such a period of its members questioning the values of the NRA, not the goals, but the values. And the NRA is much more than just the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. In fact, that may be where most of the money has been raised, but the education programs of the NRA and its outreach to sustain the shooting sports is unparalleled. And right now, I would say the NRA is on life support. They've had to completely clean house. They're trying to rebuild their trust with their membership. It's not going to be easy, particularly in today's world where we have so many fractured interests. But the NRA has been an outstanding voice for the future of hunting in America, much more than gun ownership, and has been a big voice in public lands and in the ability of people to access public lands and to hunt and to shooting sports and shooting ranges. So without them right now, we are weakened. And there has been no one able to step into their shoes yet, and it's not likely they can because the NRA was so big. So turning the battleship around, I'm afraid that's part of the problem. They view themselves as a battleship as opposed to a self-organization that can be highly effective. They became way too big, nowhere near enough oversight, and it led to its demise. And the question is, can it be rebuilt? Time will tell. Sage grouse. Last topic before I have to end the show. I wish I had ended on a happy note. Sage grouse disappear from North Dakota. How's that possible? Sage grouse were the quote-unquote iconic birds of North Dakota. When settlers came west, they talked about the huge numbers of buffalo, waterfowl, ducks and geese, and sage grouse. And today in North Dakota, there's not one left. I'll talk more about it next week, but this is really an incomprehensible story as to how one of the birds that built the American West has gone the way of the buffalo. Only in the case of the buffalo, there's still populations that are vibrant in areas where they have habitat. For the sage grouse, things are not looking so good. Thanks so much for listening. Hope you have a great President's Day holiday tomorrow and a great week in the great outdoors. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.